from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the Giants taking 3 out of 4 from the Philadelphia Phillies, 2 of 3 over the weekend since our last episode that came out on Friday, and one of the most entertaining games of the year, and multiple years for that matter, with the win last night over the Phillies on national TV. With the 2 wins and 1 loss over the weekend, the Giants improved to 59-60. They're 19 and a half games back in the National League West, so we're really just looking at the wild card here, and the Giants are 3.5 games back. The Phillies entered this series with the Giants holding on to the second wild card spot, and by losing 3 out of 4, they fell to 2 games back in the wild card race. So the Giants are really right on their heels. The Giants have Arizona, Philadelphia, New York, and Milwaukee ahead of them, all of those teams out of playoff position as well. The Cardinals hold the second wild card spot by 1/2 game over Milwaukee, and the Nationals hold the first wild card spot by just 1/2 game over the Cardinals. So the Giants are very much still involved here at just 3.5 games back. But we have a lot to talk about today, so we'll just kind of jump right into it. Last night, the Giants won 9-6 on ESPN. It was one of the more entertaining games you'll ever see. Connor Menez made the start for the Giants, and he only went 1 2/3. Bruce Bochy decided to manage this game like it was Game 7 of the World Series. He was super aggressive, taking out Menez despite, you know, it was just a 3-2 game, and he had given you, you know, a smooth first inning, but just couldn't make it out of the second. Base runners all over the place. He issued 3 walks in those 1 2/3, allowed just 2 hits, but 3 earned runs, and left with runners on base. Yandel Gustave came in for Rhys Hoskins, with runners on the corners and 2 outs. So that makes sense. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is really dangerous, especially against lefties. So it makes sense. If you're really trying to win that game, you want to go to a righty there. So then the Giants went quietly in the bottom of the second, and the Phillies got 2 against Gustave in the third, both of whom scored after Gustave had been taken out because the Phillies went to Corey Dickerson, early pinch hitting for a right-handed outfielder, to go against the righty Gustave. So the Phillies were managing aggressively as well. But then Bochy wasn't afraid to make a move, and he went and got a lefty for Corey Dickerson, who absolutely needs to be handled carefully and face only lefties if at all possible. He's a guy with heavy platoon splits. So Suarez got Dickerson to pop out, but then the switch hitter Cesar Hernandez singled home 2 runs, so it looked like a backbreaker. But then in the bottom of the third, Mike Yastrzemski homered. Evan Longoria singled, Scooter Gennett doubled, which scored Evan Longoria, Kevin Pillar singled, which scored Gennett, and just like that, the Giants had tied the game at 5-5 in the third inning. So then we got a couple of scoreless innings in the fourth and the fifth. Andy Suarez pitched, and Trevor Gott came in. Reyes Maranta navigated around a couple of walks in the top of the sixth, including a leadoff walk. So he just continues to have real problems with command, and it's a concern every time he goes out there. But then in the bottom of the sixth, Scooter Gennett hit a splash hit home run, his second home run as a Giant, and, you know, following up on that big double he hit earlier in the game. So Gennett, like I had been saying, give him enough time, and I think he's going to prove to be an upgrade over Joe Panic. And we're seeing that right now. I mean, that is what Gennett brings to the table, is some much-needed power. So big double and home run yesterday, that one gave the Giants the lead. Another scoreless inning in the seventh, Williams Jerez started the inning, got 2 outs, allowed 1 single, then there was a pass ball and Jerez walked a batter, so there were 2 on and 2 outs. With Bryce Harper coming up, actually Jerez threw 1 pitch to Harper, but then Bruce Bochy, again, super aggressively, had seen enough. It was a wild pitch, so the runners advanced to 2nd and 3rd with 2 outs, with Harper at the plate, 1-run lead for the Giants, and they went and got Tony Watson, but Watson walked Bryce Harper. So this was the one, to me, real dangerous moment. I mean, there were a lot of them. The Phillies left a ton of runners on base, but Reese Hoskins came up, a right-handed batter against the lefty Tony Watson with the bases loaded and two outs in a one-run game in the seventh inning. So a real dangerous moment. They had already used Maranta and Gott. I don't really think there's anything else they could have done there. This is a spot where you'd maybe want to go to Dyson in the past, but he's, of course, no longer here. But in a 2-1 count, Watson got him to pop out to first base. So that was a huge, huge play in the game, and the Giants maintained the lead. They went down in order in the bottom of the seventh, and then Philadelphia was able to tie the game in the top of the eighth. Mike Yastrzemski made a really nice play cutting off a ball that would have otherwise scored a run. So it was second and third, one out. Will Smith came in, just more aggressive managing by Bochy. Will Smith with one out in the eighth inning with runners on second and third with a one-run lead. He did give up a sacrifice fly that was technically a blown save, but that's why we don't talk about saves much on this show, because that just illustrates the stupidity of the save stat. All he did was get an out, and yet he gets credited with a blown save. They intentionally walk Cesar Hernandez and then get the lefty Brad Miller to fly out. So we go to the bottom of the eighth. Evan Longoria leads off with a single, and then Vogt and Jeanette make outs against the lefty, so the Phillies bring in their righty to face Kevin Pillar. There was a wild pitch that advanced Longoria to second base, so then just a single would give the Giants the lead, and in a 3-1 count, Pivetta just laid one over the middle, and Pillar just smashed a triple into right center, so a huge hit for Kevin Pillar. Gave the Giants a 7-6 lead. The Phillies then intentionally walked Brandon Crawford to get to Will Smith, so that's a smart move. Brandon Crawford stole second base, and Will Smith hits a single down the right field line. His first career MLB plate appearance. He was just laughing all the way up the first base line. Two runs come in to score. He almost gets thrown out at first base. Harper made a nice play to quickly field and throw, but he was safe at first, just laughing. The crowd is delirious. The Giants have a 3-run lead. They get the ball. It's his first hit. It was just an unbelievable scene. Not so much fun for the Phillies, but the Giants just a highlight of the season for sure, and possibly one of the better moments in the last several years. So then up comes Joey Rickard, and he hits a double, and Will Smith advances to third. So quietly here, Rickard, we haven't talked about him yet, but he homered on Friday. So he's done well since being called up to replace Steven Duggar, who is on the 60-day IL and probably will require surgery. So the Giants, you know, Brandon Belt walked, and then Mike Yastrzemski hit a smash that got fielded, and he was thrown out. But it was just a tremendous inning. The Giants had a 3-run lead, and Will Smith did issue a walk with two outs to Reese Hoskins in the top of the ninth, but otherwise got through the inning without allowing anybody to score. He struck out Bryce Harper. Harper made a hand gesture at the umpire, who rung him up from third base on a check swing, and then Will Smith made a hand gesture back at him, like, get out of here. So it was, you know, no love lost between Bryce Harper and the Giants. He just had an attitude a little bit in this whole series, and the Giants got the best of that matchup. So that was the game. The Giants won 9-6. Just an incredible game, very entertaining, and it kept the Giants in the race here. And it really did some damage to the Phillies. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll kind of recap. We won't go through the game like we did in detail right there. I just thought this game warranted that much of an in-depth analysis. But in the second half of the show, we'll talk about the key points from the first couple of games. Definitely some news with Steven Duggar. And then we'll preview the off day today and then the upcoming two-game series against the A's at home. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everybody else. Then you're just the same. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Follow Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. Okay, as promised, we'll just kind of talk about the first two games, Friday and Saturday, that we have yet to cover in this 3 out of 4 win series win by the Giants over the Phillies. On Friday, the news came out that Steven Duggar was placed on the 60-day injured list, effectively ending his season, regular season. He could potentially return if the Giants were to make the postseason. Travis Bergen, the left-handed reliever who the Giants picked up in the Rule 5 draft, was recalled from the 60-day injured list in a corresponding move, and Sam Selman was optioned to clear a spot on the 25-man roster for Bergen. Kevin Pillar homered in this game. Tyler Beattie struggled, really struggled. Joey Rickard hit a home run, which was his first as a Giant. Stephen Vogt had some really nice at-bats. He ended up hitting a splash hit later in the game. This was a great offensive game for the Giants. Strike zone was terrible. C.B. Bucknor had a terrible day with the strike zone. He was calling pitches that were close to a foot outside, semi-consistently calling them strikes. Just unacceptable and just totally ridiculous and something that MLB needs to address. And eventually, I think the robotic strike zone will happen, but can't happen soon enough, in my opinion, with this type of strike zone. It's just unacceptable. The difference that a strike and a ball makes in how at-bats turn out is huge. 0-1 versus 1-0 just makes an enormous amount of difference in the outcomes of at-bats. And so you can't have guys calling pitches that are a foot outside. You just can't have it. Tony Watson had his worst game as a Giant. He entered with a one-run lead and ended up giving up, I think, 4 runs. The real story for me, I mean, one of the main points for me, there was an article written about how Harper, it was in The Athletic, about how Harper hitting the homers kind of showed the Giants what they don't have. But I didn't get that point at all because the Giants scored 6 runs in this game and their outfield hit 2 homers, a triple, and had a walk. So they didn't lose that game because of their outfield. They should have won that game because of their outfield. So Harper hitting a couple homers doesn't really prove anything at all. And in fact, the Giants outfield has been better than the Phillies outfield since June 1st. And Harper's having a disappointing season, and the Phillies are having a disappointing season, and he has a lot to do with it. The real concern for the Giants coming out of that game was the starting pitching having consistent struggles, and Tyler Beattie not being able to really capitalize on this opportunity right now and having consistent struggles. So I just thought that article was way off base, and how the real story is that the Giants outfield has transformed into one of the strengths of their team, especially when Alex Dickerson comes back. They just have several guys who are contributing. I know they don't have the big name, and they are going to need star-level talent when they eventually want to really compete and be one of the top teams in the league. But right now, Harper's not providing that for the Phillies. I mean, he had a good game on Friday, but he's had a disappointing season. And so it's kind of just a myth that he provides that kind of impact. Right now, it's just not happening. He's been above average, but he's certainly not performing like a megastar. Giants were getting way better production out of Alex Dickerson. Yes, it was a much smaller sample, but Dickerson had almost as good of a season in terms of value added to the team as Harper has had all season long. That's how good Dickerson was. Not saying Dickerson is going to maintain that and that Harper should get, I do think Harper will get better, but I think the article completely missed the point, and the real story was about the struggles by the starting rotation. But then on Saturday, Samardzija changed everything with that narrative because he pitched great through 8 innings. Longoria and Kevin Pillar hit homers, and the Giants won a quick little 3-1 game. So anyway, I just think also on the ESPN broadcast, they kept talking about how this season is such a credit to Bochy, but I do think also they're missing the point that the Giants have like the majority of their roster now is players who weren't on the roster on opening day. And so the real credit goes to Farhan Zaidi, the Giants front office, for bringing in better players. And these are the moves that people were so critical of for no good reason early in the season when they were bringing in new players. People said that they hated the roster movement and the churning, but they had a bad team. And so bringing in new players, better players, is how you can't, it just doesn't make any sense to me that didn't even get mentioned, that they have a bunch of new players and that's why they're playing better. And B, the criticism for whenever they bring in new players doesn't make sense to me either, because that's how you get better. You bring in better players. So it's a different style than fans are used to, because they're creating better depth throughout their entire system. They want better major league depth. They want better minor league depth all the way through all of their levels of the organization. So that's what the Giants are engaged in, and we're seeing it happen. And so they have better players on the 40-man coming up when people get hurt. And it's just going to continue. I know I say this a lot, but they're just going to keep adding piece by piece, get better and better and better piece by piece. And eventually you'll just see a team that is really good, is kind of what I would predict here. And it's happening faster than I would have expected. They already have a compelling team. And someone like Dickerson is coming back. He's going to make a rehab appearance on Tuesday, tomorrow. He's going to start a rehab assignment. So he should be back soon. Johnny Cueto is also on his way back and should be back in a couple of weeks, really. So that's exciting as well. Coming up today, the Giants are off, so we're probably going to do a Q&A tomorrow. So look out for that on Twitter. I'll post at @Cove_cast. I'll post a prompt asking for you guys to ask some questions. So really looking forward to that. Then the Giants play two games against the A's to finish up this homestand. Remember, to get the show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.